First Timothy, Second Timothy, and Titus are what we call the pastoral epistles. These letters, that's what an epistle is, these letters are written by the Apostle Paul to admonish the church and tell the church how to operate. We've come outside the walls of operating a church, and we've got outside what the Bible says. And we control it and do it the way we want it done in these days instead of what the Spirit does and wants. And we need to come back to the principles of the Word of God. You heard the messages. We're not going to deal with them today, but one little thing. A lot of people don't know what they believe. If you don't know what you believe, you're in trouble. I said something like this last week, that the doctrine is what's in chapter 1. We're going to read in just a minute, but in chapter 1 is dealing primarily with doctrine, Bible doctrine. Not my doctrine, not your doctrine, not the Baptist doctrine, not any other denominational doctrine. But we believe the Bible doctrine. That's God's doctrine. And we need to be able to know what it is, take it in our heart, believe it, stand for it, live it like it says, stand up for it and fight for it when we have to, and be willing to give our life and die for it when it comes to the end of the trail. And we need to know what we believe. As some of us, you wouldn't know where you want to die for it or not. You don't know what you believe. But I want us to be able to deal with some of these things. We won't deal with all of them today, but one particular thing I'd like to look at, and if you don't get this one right, you won't get the rest of it right, regardless how we preach. But if you have your Bible, please turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and then let's stand together in reverence to the reading of the Word of God, not in reverence to me, but in reading of the Word of God in reverence to God. So in verse 1, the Bible said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our, what's that big word? Hope. Say it loud. Hope. That's our hope. Christ is our hope. Not the Baptist, not the church, not the family, not the preacher, but our hope is Christ. Verse 2, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity. That word charity means love. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Amen. We'll be seated and pray right there. Let's pray that God will touch the service. Father, give us wisdom, divine wisdom, heavenly wisdom, wisdom from above. God, to speak the oracles and speak the words and speak the text, God, as you would have us to today, that you would get the glory and the honor and the praise. Help us to be, Lord, steadfast and unmovable. Help us, Lord, to be anchored in the faith today. If there's one in our midst that does not know you as Savior, may this be the day that they'll call upon your name, repent of their sin, walk out of this building being birthed into the family of God, knowing you as their Savior. Lord, if there's one out of the will of God, you'd touch their heart. If there's one that's cold, indifferent. Lord, if there's one today that's just in the middle, Lord, I pray that you might touch them too as well. God, may everybody be spoken to by the Spirit of the living God. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. For it's in Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. I want to talk about one little word I saw coming down through there this morning. I didn't hardly know what to name the text, but I read that, and that's what we're going to talk about, swerving. Did you see that? The Bible said in verse number 6, from whence some having swerved. Have you ever swerved? Amen. Some of you ladies putting on the last bit of makeup and look up and find out you're on the run and you swerve back. Some of you run off the road chasing rabbits or looking at rabbits and the squirrels in the trees and you hit the side of the road and you swerve back. And some of you swerve to keep them hitting it. And we got some swerving Christians. Some of you have swerved. And I want to talk about this morning something here as we look at it. And the fundamentals. Somebody says, what's the fundamentals of the faith? And a lot of people don't even know what the fundamentals of the faith are. What is it that we should stand for, fight for, live for, and be willing to die for? What is so great and strong in our life, spiritually speaking, that we be willing to be tied to the stake and burned or crucified or shot or killed in some manner? He said, preacher, I don't know if there's anything I'd do that for. Well, I believe if you got what you need, you'd be like the Apostle Paul. Remember 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus were his last letters. And I said last week he is around 70 years old when he wrote those. And he's given a farewell speech to Titus and to Timothy. And he said that he is going to be called out. He said he'd fought a good fight. He'd kept the faith. And the time of his departure was at hand. So Paul knew that in just a matter of days, or maybe by morning time, or in another week or two, or sometime shortly in the present future, he was going to be led down and slaughtered, and his head's going to be rolled off the chop block, and he's going to give himself for the glory of God. Now, beloved, he is willing to stand there. Many times he's in prison, in jail, and he could have got out if he'd have measured up to their whims and done what they wanted him to do and compromised a little bit or swerved a little bit. He might have got out of jail, but Paul chose to suffer the present world and the things that's offered to him that he might be able to gain Christ. And that's where we need to be this morning for the glory of God. Now, we'll talk about it, and I want to say this morning. I want to add this in, and in this modern day, they probably didn't have to worry about it. When you talked about the Word of God in Paul's day, that's all they had, the Word of God. They didn't have all the mixture and the trouble that we have with it today. And I'm not talking about trouble with the Word of God, but I'm talking about what we have. In this day, you say Bible, and people pick up this thing and that thing and something else in this book and that book, and they won't, none of them read the same. There's a problem. Amen. If I don't sing, suppose I sing, I did that one time here one time. You remember that? I had somebody singing verse 1 or something on Amazing Grace, and they're singing verse 2 of Amazing Grace, and it's a mess. You can't do that, can you? I could get you side by side to sing. You sing verse 1 and I sing verse 2 and I'm standing right beside you. Brother, you'll be singing my verse or I'll be singing your verse before we get to the end. Or we'll all quit. We got to sing out of the same songbook. We got to read out of the same Bible. So before I can ever get established this morning some things about it, we need to get established on what we stand for and what we believe and what Bible we have. Now, I haven't preached on this in a long time, and so I hit this ever so often, and we get off of it. But you know what I believe and what I stood for down through the years. I started off preaching a few days ago. Amen. More like close to 50 of them. 50 years, that is. 50 years of days. And I've been preaching for a while. I started off with the same Bible, not the same book I hold in my hand today, but the same translation of the Bible. I've been preaching out of the same translation for all these years. And I don't want to go to nothing else. I'm glad that God got me to the preserved Word of God before I ever got my mind all tore apart. And I'm glad that I got established on the Word of God. And when I talk about the Bible, we put it on the sign after. When I talk about the Bible, I'm talking about the King James Bible. And I don't care what else you carry. Amen. If it don't read like my King James, it's not right. I've come to that conclusion. You said you believe you got the only Bible. I believe I got the closest thing to the manuscripts that you can find. Yeah. I believe the King James Bible is the preserved Word of God. Psalms 12 and verse number 6 and 7, God has preserved it and purified it 7 times. And brother, we've got the Word of God in front of us, and I'm glad I got a copy I can preach to you. Did you know I got more than what Paul had? He didn't have a full copy of the Word of God, because all of it hadn't been written yet. But it was being written, and we got all that. It hadn't been composed and put together. But God allowed them to put it together, and thank God I've got a copy of the Word of God, and I'm glad this morning I can preach from it. I'm going to tell you why I carry my King James Bible. Jot this down in your notes today. I'm going to give you 6 or 7 things and reasons why I carry and preach out of and study and try to live by the King James Bible. Don't want nothing else. Amen. If you got all that other, help yourself. Amen. I hope you get where you need to go. Amen. I like my map. Amen. I hope you find what you need. But I want to tell you right now, I found what I needed. And I don't have to hunt around, shop around, and look around. I've got the Word of God hiding in my heart that God might help me. So looking at this, here's what Paul told Timothy in verse number 3. Looking, here's what he's saying. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia. Now here's what he said. That thou mightest what? Charge. Charge. I didn't mean get a stick and run at them, or a sword and run at them. He said charge. I want you to preach to them. I want you to challenge them. I want you to give them this. He said charge some that they what? Teach no other doctrine. No other doctrine. By the way, I want to tell you this morning, you can't preach doctrine without the right Bible. Now the reason, number one, that I like my King James Bible is because I got salvation from it. It saved me. My Bible saved my soul. Amen. You say, what about the others, brother? They may be some parts of the Word of God you got in. I'm not telling you couldn't get saved off another, but I'm telling you this morning, that you could not, and if you want your doctrine established, you'll have to have a King James Bible. You may get saved out of another, but I'll tell you, you need the Word of God to be taught to you, and the only thing you can get taught of to get the truth is the King James Bible. I done found that out. I've known some, I believe, is as saved as I'm saved, and saved as anybody. I know some, and they carry some of the other verses, but they'll go right down through the line of salvation. They'll tell you that they're saved by grace through faith. They repented of their sin. They called upon Jesus. His blood washed away their sin. He forgave them. They know they're going to heaven. They got the assurance. I won't argue with them. Thank God. No need to argue with me either. Praise God, I know I'm born again. I may not look saved today, may not act saved today, but I know I'm saved. Sometimes I get up and I don't feel too saved. But I'm glad I'm not running on my feelings. I'm running on the faith, and I know that my faith in Jesus Christ is so sure that I know that I'm birthed in the family of God. I don't doubt my salvation. There was a time in my life I did doubt it, but I'm glad I got it settled. I know that I know that I know that I know. Thank God I know. You don't hear anything and don't remember anything, go out saying the preacher said he knowed. I know I'm saved. I know I'm birthed. I know I'm born into the family. I know I'm one of his. I know what family I belong to. I know who I call father. Amen. And it's not the devil. Amen. You understand? I know who Jesus is. He and I walk together, talk together. His name's not Andy. Heard the little Sunday school boy go to school. Sunday school come on, mama said, what'd you hear? He said, we sung a song about Andy. Said, Andy said, yeah, Andy walks with me and Andy talks with me and Andy tells me I'm his own. And they're talking about Jesus in the song, but he picked it up as being Andy. And he, you know. But I'm saying here, I know him. I know who Jesus is. All right? I want to say, first of all, the preacher preached that morning. He didn't preach out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog. He didn't preach out of some periodical that come out. He preached out of the King James Bible. And I got under conviction sitting on the second row, right at the end of the pew. And when he preached, I thought I was the only one in the house. And I said, that preacher's preaching to me. And I could see myself shook out over hell. I could see myself almost dropping in. I saw myself without God and without hope and helpless and hopeless. And there I was. And I got under conviction, run down the aisle. And that's what God does. He convicts and He convinces us and then He converts us. Amen. He convicted me of my sin. I saw that myself was a sinner. I run down the aisle, called on God. I didn't know how to pray the sinner's prayer. I just said, God, save me. I heard a fellow say, you can't get saved out you praying that sinner's prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I thought, hey, I didn't even know that's in the Bible. I didn't pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I went down and said, God, save me. And when I said, God, save me, God knew that I knew I was a sinner. Amen. Listen, God don't dot the I's and cross the T's like you and I do. He knows my heart. Amen. Sometimes I say something to somebody and they say, well, and they turn it and twist it. We're living in a warped society, in a warped day. Brother, you can't say hardly anything. Somebody take it wrong. I know. Something's happened to America. Anyhow, people just, stone crazy. And hear me. I never seen one. They'll stand up. One for abortion, one against abortion, one for in the middle of abortion, one in between the middle of the middle, one on the upper side of the middle of the middle. And you got so many different ideas about this and that. Amen. You talk about God and they got four or five different names for Him. And they work different ways. Brother, I'll tell you what, you name something and they got four or five different kinds of Bibles that says this and says that. Hey, it's high time we come back to the Word of God and to realize that one we have this morning is the one that we use to save men and women. King James Bible. All right, let's go on. He said, I want you to go down there and teach them something that they preach and teach no other doctrine. Then he gives them, kind of specifies a little bit, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Fables. You know what fables are? Oh, yeah. Kind of fictitious stories. Stories and sayings. People would rather go to the church and hear the preacher preach and tell some little story. Storytelling's all right if you're in a nursery. Amen. Then you ought to tell them Bible stories. You with me? I'm saying to you this morning, fables. Fables, something that's not true. Something that's not real. Something we can say. I didn't come down here this morning to entertain you or to give you something that you want. I come down here to give you something I believe God wanted you to have. And I pray you go home with it. So my salvation depends on my Bible. Your salvation depends on your Bible. The second reason I carry it, and I have to hurry because time will catch me before I get done. The second thing, my doctrine won't be right if I don't have the same Bible you have. Your Bible doctrine won't be the same as mine. We deviate so much when we got the same Bible. Amen. You know what? There needs to be a unity in our doctrine. If I ask you this morning and said, what do you think about this? Ask another one, what do you think about this? And I give you a piece of paper to write it down. I guarantee you I've got all kinds of ideas when we get through what you believe on certain things. But there's not but one answer to any doctrine in the Bible, amen, but what the Bible has already laid out. No other answer do we need. It's not what I think this is, not what you think that is. It's what God says that makes a difference. And my doctrine must be right. We talk about doctrines. We're talking about today the virgin birth, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the sinless, perfected life that Jesus lived. We're talking about the vicarious sufferings that He had or the sufferings He had on the cross of Calvary. And He shed His blood for you and me and became sin for us and took our place. That's the fundamental doctrines. That's part of them. And then we can break those down and come to them. And before we're through this little series, I'm going to give you all those. Amen. I possibly can. And I know I'll miss some. With me? Are you with me? We need to know what we believe. When you say that you got a King James Bible, what does it teach? Oh, preacher, it teaches everything. That's not good enough. That's kind of like the feller going to church, said he went home and said, what'd you preacher preach on? He said, sin. Said, what'd he say about sin? He said, we ought not to do it. Never did tell him what sin was. Sin's a transgression of the law. You have to name a few of them every once in a while. Amen. I told my kids back when they were little, don't you do wrong. But I had to specify what doing wrong was. Don't cuss, smoke, chew, and talk about people. Amen. And lie and steal. I had to tell them what that was. I didn't want them to do. And the list went on. Some of them they paid attention to, some of them they didn't. Amen. And I had to work on them. And once in a while I had to get a little ill. Amen. You can get ill now, but you can't do what I did when I got ill with it. Amen. And that's why we got a society. Did you know this morning, I want to throw this in. If we're going to change America, if we're going to change America, I mean turn it around dead in its tracks and start back in the other, it's not going to be an overnight thing. You know how come? Because it wasn't an overnight thing to get it where it's at. You know how come our nation's where it's at right now? Is we were slack, parents were slack 40 and 50 years ago, 60 and 70 years ago. Started letting every parent in this building said, I want my kids to have better than what I had. I want them to have more than I have. And I want them to have a better life than I've lived. That's what we told ourselves we was going to do. So in doing that, we've got to swerve. Can't be as strong as Daddy was on us. Can't be as strong as Mama was on us. We're going to have to, we'll give another word, bend a little. After all, kids have got their own life to live too. And they are human beings. Amen. And I agree, they are human beings. Amen. I don't care if you do call them porch monkeys or something every once in a while. But anyhow, they're human beings. And sometimes they can get under your skin. And so we backed off and let them do things that they didn't let us do. Mama wouldn't let me do this and Daddy wouldn't let me do that, but I ain't going to do that to my kids. I'm going to let them have a little leeway. I'm going to trust them. Mama didn't trust me and Daddy didn't trust me. And I got news for you. You better not trust your youngins either. Mine's got caught at doing things a few times that they said he'd done it, and I said, not my boy. Yep, my boy. Ain't that right? They'll do it, won't they? Yeah. So what's happened? If we're going to change society, we're going to have to start back at the cradle. If we're going to change America, we're going to have to start back at the cradle. Now, this goes along with a lot of what I preached last Sunday, and I like preaching on the home because it's important. Remember what God done? He established a church and he established a home. And if the home and the church is not doing the job for the kids, they're going to be juveniles. The home and the church is what God's established, not the school system. School system ruins them. And if the school is the only thing that's teaching your kids, you've got trouble. You're going to have trouble. And if your church that you attend does not teach them the right from the wrong and hold it strong, and your home is not strong and you're not strong for God, your kids won't be strong for God. Now let me explain this to you. When I was a little boy, I remember sitting in the Sunday school class. See, I was raised to go to church from about the time I didn't go to church till I was about 10 years old, maybe 9. And that is, I can't remember the exact years, but I can put it close to it. 9 or 10 years old before I was ever taken to church. My grandmother took me to a tent meeting one time or two. I went to a funeral every once in a while. I didn't go to no weddings, but I went to some funerals. Of course, ain't much difference in the wedding and the funeral. One getting in, one getting out. But anyhow. Got that, didn't you? And I didn't go to church till I was 9, 10. Got saved when I was 12. God saved my soul. So I've been in church and I've seen all that. But in Sunday school, I got to where I didn't want to miss one day, not one Sunday, because they had a little board in there and they put little stars up there. If you didn't miss a day, you got a star. If you had a daily Bible reading, they put a star. I wanted all the stars I could get. And I wanted to go. I go to Sunday school, but they had what they call periodicals. They didn't use the Bible for Sunday school. They used quarterlies. It was the name they called them. And it's preset, pre-taught. And the teacher just went down the quarterly. And they go down the quarterly. Well, I noticed that the adults, when I got up about 12, 13, 14, 15, especially after I got saved, I didn't care before then. Now you can tell that's been a day or two back. It wasn't yesterday. They would have scriptures in there, and the scriptures would be a RSV or something else. They put it out from it. It was not King James. The pastor of the church was preaching out of the King James Bible. The Sunday school adult quarterly was King James all the way, 100%. You know why? If they'd have thrown something in on them adults, they'd have screamed bloody murder. Wouldn't have accepted it. So they started with the kids putting it in there. And they took those revised versions and read those revised versions. And when they come up into later years, they knew those scriptures. And when you give them a King James Bible, it went different. And so they wanted something that they was used to. That's how the devil started all this stuff. Then they come out with another version and another version, or another perversion, I should say. And now we got revisions of the revisions till we got the revised over the revised, to now you don't know what in the world. And they twist it and turn it, and one will read one thing and one will read another, and they both can't be right. If God said it this way and that way, something's wrong with the God I'm serving, and there's nothing wrong with Him. He says the same thing. He says what He means, and He means what He says. And so they started with the kids. They started teaching this stuff in the schools. And they started teaching them all the different changes. Why, they don't teach them today the stuff that we know. History's not history like we have. What we was taught. Amen. I had something, it was said the other day, I checked out and she said to me, 1492. I give her the money. And I said, that was a good year. She looked at me and I said, you know what happened in 1492? She said, no. I said, you don't remember? She's still going to school. I mean, old enough to run a cash register. Pretty good, huh? I said, you don't remember what happened in 1492? She said, no, they didn't teach you in school that Columbus sailed the ocean blue. No. She didn't even know. I want to teach them now. They teach them this modern day junk. Gives them a different mind, and now they've got a liberal mind. I'd hate to get up and say, I'm a liberal. Do you think God's liberal? You think He's a liberal? You think He's a modernist? Amen. I'll let you answer that. He ain't neither one. Amen. He's as fundamental and conservative as anybody could be. So I want to be like God, don't you? I want to practice what God practices. I want to be right with God. And David come along and he did that which was right in the eyes of God. Another king come along, he said he did that which was right in his own eyes. I don't want to be right in my own eyes. I want to be right in the eyes of God. And the only way I can do that is get my Bible. Now, if I want my doctrine right, if I'm studying out of something wishy-washy, it's been changed from the fact, You can be saved under some other Bible, but I guarantee you can't get your doctrine established. You know why? I'll tell you, we got Baptist people sitting on the pew, and they don't even know what the Baptists believe. They don't even know what other denominations, they don't know what they believe. They've just been going there. Listen, I don't come. I didn't make a Baptist because that's what my mom and daddy was. Brother, I chose it because I believe it's the closest thing to the Word of God. And there's a lot of things I disagree with a Baptist on. I met all kinds of Baptists. Southern Baptists, Northern Baptists, Independent Baptists, Primitive Baptists, Free Will Baptists, Cussing Baptists, Lying Baptists, Dead Baptists. And there's some, of course, there's Baptists, they've been Baptists. Preacher, I've been Baptist all my life. I don't brag on that. Somebody said, are you Baptist? I said, yeah, but the Lord got me before the Baptist did. Amen. Ain't you glad of that? And one fellow says, I'm Baptist. I was Baptist born and Baptist bred. And when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Boy, you go around bragging on the Baptist. You know what I brag on? I brag on Jesus. He saved me. I got my salvation out of His book. I got my doctrine out of His book. I don't care what Dr. Bottle Stopper says. It's a pastor of the First Baptist Church on this side or that side or that side. I don't care if he's got 1,500 degrees behind his name and got all kinds of letters. It takes him 2 hours to sign his name. I want to know what he believes from this book. A lot of preachers are preaching in the pulpit, don't even know what they believe. What I believe, I believe. And what I believe, I stand for. And what I believe, I want to live what I believe. I don't want to be wishy-washy. I don't want to run when the devil says boo. I want to take my ground stand. I told my wife, you wouldn't believe this, but I was just one of the most mildest little boys you ever... Just one of the mildest little boys you've ever seen when I was a boy. I was so bashful. I was scared of my own shadow. Couldn't speak in public. They'd get me a book report, oral book. I didn't mind having a written book report. I could write all day. I expressed myself on paper better than I can in my voice. And still to this day I can do that. I can express myself in paper better than I can from the pulpit. I do that. Read some of my books, I guarantee you. But I express myself better on paper than I'm bashful when it comes to speak. And they'd say, you got an oral book report tomorrow. And I wouldn't sleep all night. I had to get up for everybody. It's just like the first sermon I preached. I was going to preach an hour and a half. I'd studied a week. I didn't stand over 5 minutes, scared to death. Give it back to the preacher. I was bullied. When I went to school, I was bullied. I know what it is to live a life being bullied. A lot of people don't even know this about me. I had boys that they picked at me. I rode the school bus. My daddy couldn't afford to buy me a haircut. And my hair would get down over my ears before they ever knowed what in the world a hippie was. Them boys would come by and pull my hair. Little girl, little girl, little girl. I didn't even go tell daddy that. I was ashamed. They'd pick at me, run me, chase me, knock me down, and I mean that I'm not here bragging about that. I was scared of everybody. I was bullied. Some of them I hated to see them come and go. They'd pick on me on the bus. And the daddy said, you ever get to school and have a fight and you get home, you get a whipping, you come home, you're going to get a nothing from me. My daddy didn't teach me to knock the daylights out of them. I raised you not to fight. Went to school, had them things, put up with that. One morning, a little old boy picking at me, had always picked at me on the bus, and for some reason I didn't get my coffee. Daddy didn't let us have coffee as a kid, so my nerves wasn't calm that morning. And I'd got tired of being bullied. And we got off school property and stopped the bus, and I got off. And when he got off, he picked at me, and I turned around and I knocked the daylights out of him, and we had us a brawl and a fight. And I give him enough that he got up and run. And I went down to the principal's office. Never will forget that. I was just a little feller. I looked up yonder at him, way up yonder. And I said, he said, "What you want?" I said, "I come from a whipping." He said, "What for?" And I just called the boy's name. I said, "I just worked him over and whooped him a while ago. And we get a whipping when we have a fight." And I said, "I come after my whipping." And he said, "Go on to your class." He didn't even whip me. That disturbed me, but he didn't even whip me. And that boy never touched me a day in his life again. Nobody else did either. I put up with that till the sixth grade. I know what it is. These kids go to school, they're being bullied on. They've had it in the news this week where they either want to do two things. They want to, you know, they want to either, you know, don't want to go further, don't want to pursue anything, or they just want to get revenge. I know what it is, but I know what the grace of God can do. Hey, I don't mind preaching from the rooftop now. God put something, you know why? Because God put something in here in me. I don't care what you believe in. I don't even care what you say about me anymore. It don't bother me like it used to. It bothers me to a degree, but not like it used to. Somebody said, "Did you hear what they said about you?" I said, "No, I really don't want to know." "Well, I'm going to tell you anyhow." That's what they used to say. "I don't want to know. I really don't care what you think of me. Because my job is to open my Bible and preach to you the truth. And when you leave, you say, 'Hey, he told me the truth. No, told me what the book said.'" Well, I can't get sound doctrine without the right Bible. Boy, my time's done gone. I'm having such much fun, and you're trying to get ready to go eat. Let me give you another or two. I may have to come back and finish. Not only does my doctrine depend on my King James Bible, my salvation depend on my King James Bible, but my maturity. I'll never be mature in the Lord to know anything. Amen. Not only that, but I'll give you this outline. We'll go home. Not only that, but my Christian morals will not be right. You want me to tell you why people don't live right? They don't have the right Bible. They take the right Bible and try to live by that Bible, and they'll walk all right. Your morals will take care of your modesty. It'll take care of all that you do. Amen. Never seen so much nakedness in all my life, and a lot of it by church members. You ought to be ashamed. God wants you to cover that body and keep it covered. When the old legion got the devil out of him, guess where he is at? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. You get to thinking right, and you won't think right without the right Bible. And I'll tell you something else to do. It's the only thing you'll find that'll expose the false teachers. Somebody, I get up sometimes and I call names. If I didn't, you wouldn't know who I was talking about. And sometimes I call names and call them false religionists, call them false teachers, call them false preachers. I got a list a mile long nearly of preachers you ought never to listen to, but I got your list you ought to listen to. I can give you a list right quick of a few that you ought to listen to. And they'll say, "Why you want to pick on him? Why, he's nationwide." Hey, beware of them that's in the limelight. Well spoken of. And how would I know this wrong without the Bible? The Bible tells me. And when the Bible says that they're false teachers and that they're teaching things that's contrary to the Word of God, I don't have to have a college degree to figure that out. If they're teaching something opposite this Bible, they're false teachers. Not only that, but without this book, I wouldn't have the joy I ought to have. I get excited. I told you the other day I enjoy getting up in the morning, taking off. I sleep as long as I can sleep and want to stay there as long as I can stay there because I enjoyed it. Amen. But once I get up, I'm gone, and I don't even want to go to bed at night. I'm having so much fun. Amen. As long as I just don't want to go to bed. It's just, I just about give out. Just about done. Matter of fact, I'm just about dead every night and I go to bed. I guess it's age, a lot of it, but I've always wanted to go to, and I drug on. I just couldn't drag. I can't drag as long as I used to. Some of you little whippersnappers now sit up and watch the news at 11 o'clock. And Lord have mercy, I'd have been asleep an hour or two before then. Would sleep. And I mean, I'm wore out. I'm dead to the world about that time. Some of you can, you know, have a party and stay to 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock. In the, well, I remember back yonder years ago, I could stay up to 4 or 5 o'clock, get a couple hours sleep, and work all day. I ain't saying I felt good, but I did it. Not no more. Amen. But I enjoy my life, and amen. I'm just a little old bitty chunk of joy. Thought I'd get a life. I'm a great big old hunk of joy. Tell the truth. I like it. I'll enjoy living. I like life. Amen. And I'm going to enjoy it to time to go. But I'll enjoy, I have some joy today because of my Bible. My Bible is what makes me happy. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now sit in the seat of the stand in the way of sinners. I believe we've got them crossed. But I'll tell you this one. Amen. Blessed is the man. And then one more. My Bible gives me a blessed hope. You said, preacher, one of these days they're going to come down and get you and take you down to the mortuary. That's right, they are. They're going to come back and get the tent. That's all they're going to do. They ain't going to take me. They'll take me down there and they said they'll squirt that stuff down your veins and you'll sure be over. You're done. They'll put you in a hole, cover you up. Ain't putting me in the ashes and putting me on the fireboard. They'll bury me. Bible way. Amen. I'm not going to be cremated unless somebody does it against my will. If anybody hears that I was cremated, you go over, knock on the door of my family and say, what's wrong with you? You tell them anything you want to. Be as mean as you want to be. They shouldn't have cremated me. Amen. Amen. I've done taught them different than that, hopefully. Amen. But it's so cheap. Yeah. Cheapskate? You're going to bury me on my money anyhow. Amen. Yeah. But I'll tell you what it does. They plant me down, throw the dirt in my face, put them old flowers that's going to wilt, done wilted before they put them there, pack it up over the top of it, letting me sleep, and they walk off and forget about me. You said, where are you going to be? Over in glory, having the best time of my life. Amen. Absent from the body is to be present in the Lord. Amen. But I'm saying my Bible give me something else. Give me some blessed hope. Knowing that one of these days that body's going to lay there, rot, go back to the dust, and all of a sudden the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ is going to rise and he's going to put the soul that's in heaven in my body, raise that body, a brand new body like I'm the Son of God. I'm coming out of the ground and by the time I hit the top of the ground, everybody else is going to be lifted with me and we're going past the moon, the stars, the Milky Way, and the space station and go to glory. And when I go by the space station, I hope it's empty. Don't. That means they got left behind because they didn't know the Lord. Hear me? Give me some blessed hope. You can't get that out of some of these other books. That's why I carry my Bible. Even we went way around the mountain and didn't get anything I wanted to say said. But I left some more preaching area. I pray this morning you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are the same things that you believe. If not, I trust this morning that you'll get to the place to see it. Somebody said, has to be like you? No, don't have to be like I believe it. Has to be like this book says it. Amen.
Amen. Which happens to be the way I believe it. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I pray this morning God will touch you. I hope that you're saved. If you're not, this is a good morning to give your life and heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, it's a good morning to take what I've said into heart. Maybe you've come to the place that you swerved one time. You was with the truth and had the truth, believed the truth, but you got away from it. I hear people say all the time, "Preacher, the kind of preaching you do is what I was raised under." Well, what happened? You must have swerved to get out from under it. Amen. It's time we come back to the old-fashioned preaching the Word of God. What's your number this morning?